It is so great to be here with you this morning. I feel a bit hidden behind here, so I'll probably stand more outside. But I've got a loud enough voice, so if I walk away from the mic, you'll still hear what I've got to say. So I was slightly challenged when I was asked to speak here this morning, partly because normally the congregation I speak to tend to be well under the age of 18, and so this is an unusual situation for me, but it's really great to be here nonetheless. And it's the first day of Advent, which means that for a lot of us who've been to church for a few years, we know the story of Christmas. We know the beginning of Luke's gospel and the angels coming and the shepherds and all the rest. We know the Advent story. And I was like, what can I teach a group of people who, for most of you, I'd imagine, have been a Christian for a while? What can I teach them about Christmas that I don't, or about Advent that I don't already know? So it was a real challenge for me. And then I came across a website, as all good preachers do, and found some interesting quotes from young children who thought they knew about the Bible, and it turned out maybe they didn't know as much as they thought they did. So I'm just going to read a few. These are things that children have written down in answer to questions about the Bible. And it just made me laugh. So here we go. Comments from kids. The first commandment was when Eve told Adam to eat the apple. The fifth commandment is humour your father and mother. The seventh commandment is thou shalt not admit adultery. Apparently, Moses died before he ever reached Canada. King Solomon had 300 wives and 700 porcupines. When Mary heard that she was the mother of Jesus, she sang the Magna Carta. It's quite impressive. Jesus was born because Mary had an immaculate contraption. St. John the blacksmith dumped water on Jesus' head. The people who followed Jesus were called the 12 decibels. And finally, Jesus said that a man should only have one wife. This is called monotony. So there are a ton more of these interesting things that children said. What it helped me to realise was that actually there's a danger that we think we understand the Christmas story, we understand Advent, but when we come back to the scriptures, they're fresh, they're God-breathed, and we can always get new stuff from them. And sometimes we assume that we understand biblical stories. We assume we understand what God has said to us, and coming back to God's word and looking at it afresh can bring a whole new revelation to us. And hopefully that will be the case for you guys, as it has been a bit for me over the last week as I've looked at this today. So let's get on with the story, with the passage. Zechariah works in the temple, and it's his turn to be on duty. An angel of the Lord appears to Zechariah, which is obviously a scary experience, because the first thing the angel says is, do not be afraid. It seems that throughout Scripture, whenever an angel appears, the first thing they have to say to people is, don't be scared. Because I think if most of us kind of were at home doing our usual stuff and suddenly an angel appeared at the window or wherever, we'd probably be afraid, because it's not a normal everyday occurrence, at least not in my life. Maybe I'm just not as godly as you guys, but there we go. So an angel appears to Zechariah and he says, I've got some amazing news. I'm paraphrasing a little, I hope that's okay. He says, you are going to have a really amazing, special baby. And Zechariah's response is to say, what? No way. And then he says something that I think is quite a dangerous thing to say. He says, my wife, and what's the actual phrase he uses? My wife is well along in years. Now, I've been married for 14 years later on this week. And we have two kids, they're amazing. But I know, and I think no matter how old I get, I will never be able to use that phrase without getting a slap from my wife. My wife is well along in years. So the angel then says, I'm Gabriel, etc., etc. Be quiet. for the next 9 months, basically. I still can't work out whether it's because Zachariah, I'm not sure whether it's because Zachariah wasn't completely convinced that this was all going to happen, or whether it was just because the angel realised that he'd been a bit rude about his wife and thought, we're not having that, and teach him a lesson. So either way, Zachariah ends up not being able to speak. And this is where it gets fun, because Zachariah comes out of the temple to all these worshippers who are wondering where he's been, not being able to speak, and has to explain to them somehow without speaking what has been going on. So I imagine it'd be like a massive, fun family game of charades. Charades? I never know. Is it charades or charades? Charades. There you go. My family are from Birmingham. They call them the wrong things all the time. Charades. There you go. So you've got Zachariah. He comes out of the temple without being able to speak, and all the worshippers are like, What have you been doing? And Zachariah's, oh, stop being daft, Zachariah. We haven't got time for games. Where have you been? So he does it all again, you know. They're like, you were scared by a bald eagle. No! And you can imagine this whole thing going through his mind, trying to explain. How do you explain without speaking? It's actually really hard to do. But eventually they get the idea that he's been visited by an angel and he's not allowed, he can't speak anymore, etc. And then he goes home and has to explain to his wife. And you would imagine the same thing would have happened. His wife, if she's anything like my wife, would have got annoyed thinking he was just playing a game. And then eventually discovered that he'd got something important to say. So we get to the point where Elizabeth has realised this, he can't speak, he's been visited by an angel. But what did the angel say to you? How would you do that? You're like, yes, Zachariah, I realise that you need to lose some weight. But I don't think God would send an angel just to communicate that to you. So instead, he's like, this isn't going to go well, is it? Eventually, gets a message across, we're going to have a baby. And Elizabeth's response is very different to Zachariah's. Elizabeth's response is to just say, God has taken away my shame in front of the people. God is amazing, is basically what she says. Whereas Zachariah's response, when he heard from the angel, was very different. Zachariah's response was a lot like a response I would probably have. It wasn't that heartfelt, God is amazing. It was, he automatically engaged logic brain. I don't know whether any of you guys do that, but when you hear great news, the first question you ask is, how can that be possible? Yeah, I was really blessed about a year ago by my parents who called me up and said, John, we want to bless your ministry and buy you one of these newfangled iPad devices, which is great and it's been a real blessing to me. But I remember when they told me that, my first response wasn't, oh, it's amazing. My first response is, how can you afford to buy that? You should be spending your money on other things at your age in life. And actually, there's a natural part of us that when we receive great news, tries to rationalise it, tries to think, how can that be possible? Surely that doesn't make any sense, rather than the response of Elizabeth, which was, God is amazing. Even in my old age, God is giving me the thing that I've always wanted. So, why is this story significant to us today? Partly because this story symbolises the beginning of a change that affects the rest of human history. This is the first time that we hear word that something significant is going to happen, that there's going to be a baby born who will bring in a new era, which is exciting news, not just for Zachariah and for Elizabeth, but for us here today. It is the best news we could ever hear. But also, it's a story of God meeting people's needs and meeting people's desires. God met Elizabeth's need. Elizabeth had obviously spent most of her life feeling shamed by the fact she was unable to have children, and God came and met her need, even in her old age. Zachariah, the angel says, God has heard your prayers. Zachariah had obviously been praying for a child for years and years and years, probably. In fact, it was probably at the point where he'd stopped praying because it just seemed a ridiculous idea. And yet, God meets his need. God answers Zechariah's prayer years and years later. So much later, in fact, that Zechariah almost can't believe his ears because he's probably stopped praying that prayer. He's probably just thought, well, that one didn't come true. That one didn't get answered. And yet God turns up at the least expected time and says, actually, I want to bless you. I want to give you the desire of your heart. So, let me just capture all my notes. That would be really helpful. A good question to ask when you're reading scripture is, how are the characters in this passage like me? And I've already said that actually, for me, I worry that if God appeared to me in a vision or an angel appeared to me and told me some amazing news, my first response wouldn't be, that's amazing, God, you are wonderful, but would actually be, oh yeah, but prove it. You know, how's that going to be possible? That doesn't make any sense. And I really worry that that would be my head response rather than being led by my heart response, which is, this is just amazing. And I think for a lot of Christians, that's often the case, that we try and rationalise stuff. So, the interesting thing is the parallel between Zechariah's response and Mary's response when the angel visits her later in the passage. Because actually, when the angel visits Mary, Mary has questions too. And yet, she isn't struck dumb. She is still able to speak. And actually, her response we discover later in the passage when she visits Elizabeth. And Elizabeth says, blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her by the Lord. Okay, let me read that again. Blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her from the Lord. Her first response was to believe. And I love to think that when Elizabeth said that, she said it just loud enough so that Zechariah in the next room would hear it and feel really guilty about the fact that he didn't and the fact he couldn't do anything about it because he couldn't speak. But there's this massive significance. Very similar stories, very similar situations. The difference is one person believed it in their heart and responded in faith. One person believed it in their heart, but their head just couldn't come to terms with it and struggled with the whole concept. So my challenge, I guess, today is to ask the question, are you living a life of expectancy that God can still answer the prayers of your youth and even the prayers of yesterday? Are you expectant that even though logically it might not make sense, God can still answer and bless you in ways that you couldn't even dream of? Because I honestly believe that he can. So if you've stopped dreaming big dreams about God, today's the day to start dreaming those dreams again. God can do immeasurably more than we could ever ask or imagine. And yet sometimes we stop asking because we feel like, I've missed my chance. God never misses chances. He just sometimes does it in a different time scale to what we expect. Are you living expectantly? And Advent is all about expectancy. Advent, we're all expecting, a new Xbox One for Christmas. That's how it works. We're all expecting someone will buy us socks. We're all expecting to see delighted faces of our friends and family when we give them the gifts that we've carefully chosen for them. In a few weeks' time. We're all expecting at least one family argument, I'm assuming. There are lots of things we're expectant. Advent is all about expectancy. And for me, I think having looked at this passage, actually for me, this Advent is going to be more about expectancy, but not just expectancy of the joy and fun of Christmas, but actually expectancy that God can still speak into our lives and bless us in ways that we couldn't imagine. So be expectant. And don't stop believing. I know that's a fairly popular song at the moment, but don't stop believing. God can do anything. So don't give up hope. Be expectant and allow God to bless you in ways you could never even imagine. And that is kind of what I've got to say. So shall we pray? That'd be great. Father God, thank you that you love each one of us more than we could ever imagine. Thank you that you love to bless us in ways that we can't imagine. And thank you that you sent your son at Christmas to change the world forever. God, thank you that we can live in that reality today. And thank you for the dreams that you have given us in our youth, in our middle age, even in our old age. Thank you for the dreams that you've given us. And I thank you that you are longing. You are a God who longs to answer our prayers. You are a God who longs to bless us with good things. God, would we be a people who live in the expectancy of that revelation and that realism, that you would come, that you would meet our needs in your time, not ours, and that we would never be the same as a result. Amen. Thank you very much.